From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of January 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Joe Vaklovic of Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois. Jackie Vakes is unavailable for the afternoon. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the CME Group has confirmed it will cut back the number of hours grains are traded during any one session, but it has yet not decided what hours to trade. And the EU is set for free trade talks with Washington next week. Dave will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. Don't forget that as we close out our half hour together, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and that sometime in this afternoon, you should dial this number to pick up your tickets for our all-day agricultural outlook. It's scheduled for the 5th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The number to call, 217-333-7300.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. The nearby contract for the March soft red winter wheat at $7.87.5, up 10.5 cents for the day. May futures at $7.95.5, up 9 and 3 quarters in July. At $7.98, the harvest month, 6 and 3 quarters higher in Chicago. The harvest month hard red in Kansas City at $8.56 and 3 quarters, up 7 on the afternoon. March corn futures at $7.39 and 3 quarters, and these are closes and not settlement prices. Is up 10 and a quarter, so they may change yet. May futures 740 and a half, up 10 and a half, and July at 729 and a half, up 9 cents. September corn 616 and a quarter on its last trade, up 5 and 3 quarters in December futures there, a $5.92 last trade, up a nickel on the day. The March contract in the corn pit at 603 for next year, up 6 cents. March soybeans $14.78 today, 26 and a quarter higher. The May futures at 14.67 and a half, up 27 and 3 quarters. In July, 14.57 and a half, up 28. August, 14.27 and a quarter, up 25 and a quarter. And the September futures, 22 and a quarter higher in the bean pit at $13.75 and a half. November, or the new crop in the United States, at $13.35, up 22 and a quarter for the day. Bean meal futures at $4.33, up $9.30. Bean oil at $52.61. 90 cents higher. Live cattle futures April contract at 132.92 and a half, a nickel lower, and feeders in the March at 149 and a dime. That's up 27 and a half. This is the closing market report. The lean hogs in Chicago finished the nearby April down 37.5 cents at $89.25 per 100 pounds. In the May futures there at $96.65 were up 25 cents. Outside markets, the crude oil for the day, the March contract, $97.96 a barrel, up 39 cents. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $3.04, that's 6 7/10% higher. Natural gas at ethanol at $2.46 1/10. up 5 6/10%, and the spread between the two is now at 57 9/10%. That's a penny and a tenth wider than it was yesterday and should be very good for blending of ethanol into the gasoline supply. Natural gas now, $3.34, up 8 2/10%. Heating oil at $3.11 9/10. That's up about 9 10/10% for diesel fuel. And the gold futures at $1,680.60 an ounce, $18.90 higher for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. It says a chance of rain before 3 o'clock and then a chance of rain and snow afterwards. It's getting colder already. Cloudy with a high of 48 degrees and then plummeting lower. It'll be breezy with a west wind at 22 to 24 miles an hour, gusting to 36. The chance of precipitation this afternoon set at 40%. A 20% chance of snow before midnight this evening. Cloudy and a low of just 18 degrees. Wind chill values at 4 to 14 degrees. It'll be blustery and cold, really cold. West to northwest winds at 17 to 24 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 37. And then tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day, a low of 3. Wind chill values, this is for the evening, between negative 4 and 14 tomorrow night. West northwest winds at 14 to 18 miles an hour. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's the 30th day of January, 2013. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. Joe Vaclavic is in for Stuart Peterson's Jackie Bakes, our regular analyst on a Wednesday afternoon. Joe, thanks so much for taking the time and spending it with us today.
Oh, absolutely. Glad to be on the show.
And Joe, we'll be with you, in fact, next week in DeKalb on Tuesday. Jackie should be there as well as Dan Zwicker at the Center for Agriculture. Everybody's invited to come to that one. Castle Bank has put it on, and you can find all the details on our website at willag.org. It starts about 1 o'clock with some other things that Castle's got happening. There is a brochure on our website. If you happen to open that particular event on the calendar, you will find a link to the brochure as well. Anyway, Joe, let's talk about the marketplace for the day. Futures in Chicago rallied, but it looked like it was led by the soybeans. Is that the case?
Yeah, the bean market led this thing the whole way. It was really just in the last hour or so of trading that the corn market and the wheat market really picked up. We had some bullish weather forecasts out here early today, and this is for South America, mostly Argentina in particular. We were looking for some kind of substantial rain event this coming weekend in Argentina. Some areas down there have been very dry. Turns out that this rain event is not going to be quite what we thought it was, and once you get through this, you know, quarter, half inch of rain that some of these areas might get, it's going to go back to hot and dry for 10 days. So there's a lot of traders up here already talking yield loss in some of these areas of Argentina, and I think that that's kind of what's driving this thing here. On the flip side of that, Brazil is the exact opposite. You know, they're starting to harvest beans in the northern part of Brazil, and they've had excessive rains, some harvest delays, some flooding, and some things that really just kind of slowing down the process. We're also hearing some very, very early yield reports that are coming in a little bit worse than expected previously.
No, it's the worse than expected, and then out of Argentina, of course, hot and dry and yield cuts, that would be the important part of that. If it's a good crop, it'll come into the marketplace one way or the other, and that would be temporary. Can you give us an estimate of how much of a cut there might be out of Argentina at this point?
Well, it's tough to say, and you know, I know that some of the private analysts have recently ratcheted down numbers for Argentina corn and soybean production. My thought here as of right now is that the enormity of the Brazilian crop may offset all of the losses in Argentina, and I know that we're not that far along yet, but most reports that I've heard out of parts of Brazil, the majority of the Brazilian bean crop is in very good shape. So I think that in regards to the weather, you know, something, this is a threat, but it's not a full-blown problem yet. You know, if we knew that there were going to be significant yield losses in Argentina or Brazil, I think that these old crop beans would be well above $15, probably on their way to $16 or $17, and we're just not there yet. This is a weather scare, but not a full-blown weather problem.
Because it's a scare, I take it that you're not convinced things will move higher. Do you lean more to the lower side then?
I lean more towards kind of a choppy trade at this point. I think that they're building in some weather premium. And, you know, in this bean market, 20 cents really isn't much. I think you could see the March contract trade up to $15 pretty easily here over the next couple of days. But, no, I'm not thoroughly convinced that we're going through the roof just yet. Once we have some confirmation of yield losses in Argentina and, more importantly, in Brazil, if that's going to be the case, then I can get on that train. But for right now, I still think that there is plenty of downside risk in that old crop bean market, especially on a big rally like this.
All right, so more downside risk as we get to just a bit higher. What kind of number are you looking for on the downside? Is it the recent low?
Well, you know, figure it this way. If Argentina improves a little bit and you minimize yield losses with a couple of rains, you know, say a week or two down the road, and Brazil ends up good, I think that those recent lows, you know, somewhere down in the mid-1350s is probably doable. And like I said, I mean, if you get some real full-blown weather problem down there and you see significant yield losses, I mean, the soybean situation on a world basis is so tight as it is, and demand is so good. I think that the upside is in fact more substantial. The upside potential is more substantial on a major problem than the downside.
That would be for old crop. Is the upside potential there for new crop as well?
Well, the new crop beans had a real nice close today, you know, up 20 cents. This is the highest we've been since early December, I believe. And the interesting thing about new crop beans is that they've essentially been gaining on new crop corn pretty consistently here since the beginning of December. And I think that that's due to a couple of things. You know, you've got these weather issues in South America, which are not anything major yet, but I think that the traders may feel that beans may get the short end of the stick here as far as acreage in the U.S. if those spread relationships were to remain as is. So I think the beans are trying to, you know, I know we're not really talking acreage battle yet, but the beans are trying to buy back some acreage here for this 13 crop year. You know, people are talking 99 million acres of corn, and that's going to be at the expense of beans to some extent. So I think that these spreads are trying to even that out a little bit.
You believe the 99 million acres?
I believe it's possible. I don't believe it's in the bag by any means. I mean, we've got real, real dry conditions, you know, essentially everywhere west of the Mississippi River. You know, eastern parts of Iowa are in decent shape. But I think that there are some issues here, and I think 99 is going to be real tough to do, especially with the way these spreads are acting. I think if I had to pick a number right now, I'd probably be somewhere in the mid to high 97s, you know, 97.5 up to 98, maybe in the low 98s. But the way these spreads have acted should encourage some more soybean planting.
Anything on the livestock we ought to cover for the day?
Well, you know something, we've seen a nice rally back here in the livestock. We had the cattle on feed number out last Friday, which was seen as being very friendly. You know, cattle numbers are down, placements are down. I think that that could ultimately be a little bearish for feed demand in regards to the corn market. I don't think that the livestock market's out of I don't think it's out of the woods just yet. You know, it's a very rare occasion in any of these markets that you see a big spike down and then you see the market turn on a dime and shoot back higher. You know, we may have seen some short-term lows here, and I think that is the case. I wouldn't be surprised to see some consolidation or, you know, another test of those lows at some point during the next couple of weeks. The cash trade and the cattle has backed off just a little bit. So I'd like to be optimistic, but the charts are kind of telling me otherwise.
Thank you so much.
Not a problem at all.
That's Joe Vaclavic. He's with Standard Grain out of Chicago, Illinois, filling in today for Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson. Jackie is unavailable for the afternoon. Joe will be with us on one of our ag panels next week, and we have four of them. He'll be on the Tuesday ag panel, which is in DeKalb, actually at Sycamore, at the Center for Agriculture. That's the Farm Bureau building in DeKalb County, Illinois, along with Jackie and Dan Zwicker. The day after that, Dan and Sue Martin and David Nelson and I will be in Peoria at the Civic Center in the afternoon for the Illinois Pork Expo. And then earlier in the week, on Monday, Dave will be out. He'll have an ag panel in Mahomet at the Farm Credit Services building that evening. And he'll be out on Thursday with the folks at the Richards Farm restaurant in Casey, Illinois. So we'll have a busy week next week. You can find all the details on all those Ag Outlook panels on our website at willag.org.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stewart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stewart-peterson.com.
No, that's not enough of the ag panels for next week. Coming up in the month of March, of course, is our big all-day Ag Outlook panel. That one over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We'll have John Bondurant on hand with us, along with Murray Wise and Peter Goldsmith. The rest of our analysts, too. All-day Ag Outlook scheduled for the 5th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can get your tickets today. More than 200 of the, about 350 of those are sold already. You might want to dial in at 217-333-7300. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, CME Group Incorporated will cut the number of hours its grain futures are traded in response to industry feedback. The exchange, which is in the midst of surveying customers on trading hours, said that while the survey is not yet complete, it has already received enough responses to reduce hours for grain and soybean futures. CME also said it was open to considering a halt to trading during the release of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's key monthly and quarterly crop reports, backtracking from recent comments by CME officials. But a spokesperson for rival Intercontinental Exchange Incorporated, whose new contracts last year prompted CME to expand its hours, yesterday said that ICE did not plan to make any changes to its trading hours, including a possible halt around USDA reports. Chicago-based CME expanded its trading hours last year to 21 hours a day, up from 17. European Union Trade Commissioner Charles de Gucht says that he expects free trade talks between the EU and U.S. to be difficult, especially when it comes to agricultural issues. De Gucht will be in Washington next week to finalize an EU-U.S. report on a possible free trade deal between the two economic superpowers. De Gucht had said previously that an EU bilateral free trade agreement with the U.S. should come as close as possible to removing tariffs on agricultural as well as industrial goods. The difficulties regarding agricultural trade can be seen already in the progress of talks on a similar EU-Canada FTA. EU farm ministers meeting earlier this week reportedly were alarmed by Canada's insistence that the EU grant it greater market access for its beef, pork, and sweet corn exports, while being less open to greater imports of European dairy, poultry, and eggs. BASFSE has given up seeking approval for genetically modified potatoes in Europe after concentrated opposition from consumers, farmers, and lawmakers. The discontinuation will result in the closure of several BASF field sites in the U.S. And the Commerce Department today says that the U.S. economy shrank from October through December for the first time since the recession ended. The economy contracted at an annual rate of 0.1% in the fourth quarter. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. 1 week from today, I'll be in Peoria at the Illinois Pork Expo, wrapping up that event in the afternoon. Along with me will be Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana, Sue Martin from Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa, and David Nelson from Rabobank. He's their red meat specialist on the domestic and international front. If you'd like to come and watch that particular event, it picks up at 1:30 in the afternoon at the Peoria Civic Center, the Illinois Pork Expo. You can find all the details on our website at willag.org or just show up. It is $10 to get into the expo. It's a great day. Come early and then stay for our program in the afternoon. Over at the Illinois Pork Expo, the Ag Outlook panel, including Sue Martin, Dan Zwicker, and David Nelson on Wednesday afternoon of next week. Now, up next, you know, I talked earlier in the year about crop insurance premiums for this year with Illinois ag economist Bruce Sherrick. He told me what we learned in 2012 is that the trend adjustment yield option is a really good experience and that you probably, as a farmer, should use it this year.
Right. So 2012, with the trend, a major change in the way crop insurance and the sort of guarantee was calculated. So producers were able to add back to their yields from time the impact of the passage of time. And we think it worked extremely well. We just didn't get quite as much participation as was expected. And going backwards, we understand now, and from the producer stories, understand there was a bit of confusion about what trend was. The technical features are that the cost per bushel of insurance with trend can't go up. The rate yields are maintained in the exact same way. So if you insured the same number of bushels with trend, your actual premiums would go down as if you insured the same number of bushels without trend, but trend allow you to get a lot more coverage. So in many cases, simply going from say, 150 bushels of effective coverage to 160 bushels of effective coverage with trend resulted in premium increases, but the cost per dollar of insurance was still lower.
So in 2013, you would expect everybody to raise their hand and say, yes, I took trend-adjusted yields.
Right. We see very few reasons not to take trend. There are certain historic cases where living on the floor, if you will, or having enough cups or floors in the producer's APH database might have resulted in better adjustments than trend. But we really expect this to be a very complete program going forward. One of the other impacts this year that people should be aware of is that their actual APH starting values will go down because of their experience in the drought this year. Adding one more year of low yields and perhaps kicking out a 10-year-old higher yield can have that effect, might reduce APHs by 4 or 5 bushels on a raw basis, which makes it even more important to take the trend adjustment next year.
And when they do take the trend adjusted yield, they can opt to lower their coverage rate level?
What some folks found to be a good trade-off was to take the trend and then reduce their coverage by 5%. So an 85% unadjusted APH or 80% trend-adjusted APH often resulted in the same effective bushel coverage. So many producers did that. I think after this year's experience, though, and seeing how crop insurance performed, it's generally the case that higher coverage levels are better. So I don't think many people will back off on coverage as much this time.
That's Bruce Sherrick, Extension and Ag Economist from the University of Illinois, talking about the trend-adjusted yield. Actually, he's just an Ag Economist from the University of Illinois. He works with the Farm Business Barn Management team as well and helps to set the actuarial data that worked with the trend adjustment and crop insurance. He knows what he's talking about it and suggests that trend adjustment is a good thing in crop insurance. You can deal with that with your crop insurance agent. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be back. We'll talk about the weather with the folks at Drew Lerner's office in Kansas City. And before that, we'll take up what's been happening in the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons at the Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
In fact, Scott Butcher of the Andersons is on the phone line from Logansport and the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Did producers find the jump in the marketplace today enough to help them think about new crop sales at all?
Yeah, I really think probably more in the old crop arena than new crop today. Really a lot of cleaning up of old crop corn and beans both. Really a pretty heavy bean day, I think, probably across the marketplace.
Does that mean your corn bids are somewhere north of $7?
Yes. Right now, cash, you're getting real close to $8 again.
That's what I thought.
We're $7.78 would be where we would be today, tonight, and so we're creeping back close to $8 again.
Yeah, so you're always in need there for the ethanol plant to chew through corn. Is it getting harder to come by?
Not really. We're still, seeing good offers from, folks throughout the countryside. Obviously, feels like there's corn still out there now. We get into April, May, June, July, that'll be a different story.
And the soybean producers or the soybean end users in your area, are they hunting down soybeans?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said earlier, I think everybody, had a lot of activity today from just the phone calls that I've had today in the marketplace. It feels like everybody was buying beans today. Especially old beans.
All right. And very quickly, just the bean prices, please.
$14.89 this evening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons. He's from right here. He's from Delphi and Logansport, Indiana.
It's National Croissant Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1516, Duke Wilhelm IV of Bavaria instituted what was probably the world's first consumer protection law. It established purity standards on German beer. Before a committee consisting of gentry and knights, he ruled that only barley, hops, and water could be used in brewing beer. The regulation remained in effect until 1986, more than four centuries later. In 1744, Aziel Wilkinson was born, an American blacksmith. He was among the first to use water power to manufacture farm tools, domestic utensils, and cut nails. In 1888, Asa Gray died, a leading American botanist of his time and a supporter of Charles Darwin. He co-authored Flora of North America with John Torrey. And in 1948, Orville Wright died. He, along with his brother Wilbur, invented the first powered airplane. 5 years after that first 12-second flight, they were producing the Model A, capable of flight for over 2 hours. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is here. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Let's start in the Midwest, and we can talk about the rainfall that has come across parts of Missouri, Illinois, and then I suppose maybe a few places to the east. What did you see?
Absolutely. We've seen rain totals run from about a half to 1 3/4 inches in general, with some local totals over 2 inches. The rain has soaked down many areas from parts of Missouri into the heart of Illinois, but on either side of this band, the rains haven't been quite so impressive. We are expecting to see totals here later today reported out of Ohio and a few in Kentucky that may get into the range of a half to 1.5 inches as well. But the storm system has lost some of its intensity as it's exited out of the eastern portions of the region. Now, we're not completely done with the storm system. It's still going to bring us some opportunity for snow as well. In fact, it's been snowing most of the morning in Wisconsin and parts of Iowa. And we'll see the snow overtake most of Illinois as we go through the afternoon and overnight tonight. The snow accumulations in Iowa and Wisconsin could easily run 2 to 6 and some local 9-inch amounts. But in parts of Missouri and Illinois, we're probably talking about a dusting to an inch or two. But what's most important about the snow is that it will lay down a little layer of protection for some of this winter wheat that's going to be subjected to bitter cold conditions on Friday morning, with lows near or slightly below zero in both those states.
Snow in the upper and northern parts of the Midwest is a really comforting thing for the winter wheat crop there. Rainfall in the Midwest, good for the Mississippi River, and recharge in Missouri and Illinois, but we remain very dry to the further west.
That's right. Most of the hard red winter wheat country continues to be struggling greatly. We've seen a couple of storm systems advertised for the region in the past week, and both of them faltered and failed to evolve as they were advertised. And we are left with drought conditions still prevailing across that region. And I don't think we're going to see much change in this pattern for a little while yet. There's another storm system that's advertised for the middle part of next week, but already on the midday model runs today, that storm system was weakened a bit, and it looks like they're going to still have drought prevailing across those regions for quite a little while yet.
There were some serious questions about the weather forecast for South America, Argentina in particular. Have they begun to pan out either to the good or the bad yet?
Well, certainly we are trending drier, and the stress levels in Argentina's summer crop country are becoming greater as each day goes by now. We have a rain event that is still expected to come across the region as we go through the day tomorrow into Saturday morning, with Friday being the focus of the greatest precipitation. But it has been a reduced rain event in the last couple of days. A tenth to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch of rain, some local amounts up to around an inch, will occur. But as dry as Argentina has been the last 3 or 4 weeks, that's not going to be enough. But it will help the pollination process for that corn crop, but we'll definitely have to have some follow-up rainfall in order to support that kernel setting and their development. So we'll need to watch Argentina very closely. The next 10 days to 2 weeks don't look all that much better.
Drew, thank you very much.
All right, you have yourself a great day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Agricultural programming is made possible by the Illinois Pork Producers Association. Hey, join me, Todd Gleason, for a Market Outlook panel featuring Dan Zwicker, Sue Martin, and David Nelson, February 6th during the Illinois Pork Expo at the Peoria Civic Center. All farmers are welcome. More info at ilpork.com.